Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Ashton Woodling. Joining me today is Darby Sanders. Darby started her career in banking in 1994. She accidentally fell into a customer service role after giving a presentation to a group of business owners about the high school work program she led. After the presentation, a community bank president approached her and offered her a job at the ripe age of 16 years old. Darby quickly advanced into other positions and attended community college while working full-time as a teller, eventually becoming a manager and supervisor of various departments. Although her educational pursuit was psychology, she never ended up leaving the banking world. Throughout her career, Darby's work included numerous banking roles, some that no longer exist today due to technology. She has been fortunate to experience numerous areas of banking, including data processing, auditing, training, operations management, and consumer lending. Darby's comprehensive experience gives her a diverse perspective that she applies daily in her current role as Chief Risk and Compliance Officer for First Bank Texas, a $1 billion community bank with offices throughout North and West Texas. Although her current role is that of rules and regulations, she also enjoys retail banking, sales, coaching, and customer interaction. Her passion, however, is educating customers on how to avoid fraud and scams and preventing elder vulnerable adult abuse. Darby holds 4 certifications from the Independent Community Bank Association, including certified BSA, compliance, internal auditor, and risk officer. Darby is a native Texan. She is married to the chief in the fire department and has 3 beautiful daughters, aged 25, 21, and 16. During her free time, Darby enjoys anything outdoors and loves the sunshine. Darby, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Ashton.
So I also love the outdoors. So I read about your love for the sunshine. And right now it is very, very cold here in Missouri. It's like 50 and I'm freezing.
Me too. I understand.
So I shared a little bit about this in your bio, but Darby, in your own words, tell me about how you found yourself in banking.
So I was the president of a class that our high school offered where you could work half a day and go to school half a day, which obviously as a teenager, that like really interests me, right?
That's the dream.
I only have to go to school half a day. So I was in that work program and led that program. And so giving a presentation to a bunch of small business owners, after the presentation, a community banker who was a president of a local community bank approached me and he's like, "Hey, I really liked your presentation. You have a great personality." He said, "It's very rare that a 16-year-old can speak that confidently in front of people." He's like, "Would you like a job?" And I was like, "Well, sure, I'm working at a burger joint right now. So banking versus flipping burgers sounds amazing." And so that's how I started. 2 weeks later, I found myself in a community bank answering phones.
Wow. And you never left, right? Like community banks ever since?
And I never left. Yeah, it's crazy. I always thought I had a passion for, you know, helping people. My overall goal was going to be a counselor to help, you know, with trauma victims, that type of thing. And the more my banking career progressed and I finished my education, I have used a lot of that in my current profession. You know, communication is key. But I just could never bring myself to actually leave banking. So,
yeah, I wholeheartedly agree that communication is key. My background is in auditing, and one of the most successful auditors I ever hired was not any background in accounting or anything. She had a psychology degree, and she was just so good at working with people and getting the information she needed. It was
right.
So
yeah, building relationships, which is something that's very important to me. And I think that's why I can be successful as a compliance leader in the industry, just because I'm not your typical compliance officer. So when people meet me and I tell them what I do for the bank, they're like, "Oh, I would have never thought that." And so it's very interesting, but you know, I think that's kind of what sets me apart from other people is I'm always open to questions and open dialogue and, you know, communications. And I'm not just a yes or no, you know, this is the rule. What can we do to meet the needs of, you know, the banker, the customer, the overall need?
Good. Yeah, love that. So Darby, we said today we were going to talk about generational banking. Tell me, what does that phrase mean to you?
Oh my gosh. So being in banking for as long as I have, I've seen, you know, the antiquated way to the new technology, and it's very hard to meet the needs of everybody, because you have the newer generation that does not want to come into the bank. They want to do everything online. And you have to have security features around that, right? And then you have our older generation that they're still used to writing checks. They want their physical checks back in the mail. They don't understand why you have to CIP them when they come in to open a new account. So it's very challenging trying to meet the needs of, you know, the older generation and the newer generation, because right now, the newer generation, everything is tech savvy, software that is technologically advanced costs the community banks lots of money. So we try to find a happy medium to meet the needs of both.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I went into the bank lobby maybe last week, which was sort of abnormal for me. And while I was making the deposit, the teller made sure to tell me that I could have done the deposit in the ATM and I didn't need to come back in the bank.
Yeah. Mobile check deposit. We have ITMs it's a virtual teller, right? So during the day, you can see somebody's face, and then at night, it turns into an ATM. And trying to get our older generations to understand and utilize that technology is an absolute no. You know, they just don't want to. They want the customer service and the communication and the relationships. And the older generations are used to coming in and sitting down and spending an hour drinking their coffee with you while they tell you about everything. And the newer generation, you're lucky if they have a driver's license on them and they have time to come in and open an account with you.
Yeah, so there we bring back to the psychology. You can be a counselor there with our older folks in the branch, right?
Right.
I think this is so interesting. You mentioned like the cost for the technology to satisfy the younger generation, but then I know there's also a significant cost in keeping our brick and mortar locations running to satisfy that older generation. So how do you sort of balance those needs?
Well, you have to have both, right? You have to have a brick and mortar area. You have to have the technology. It's funny, as our branches get remodeled, we don't have teller gates anymore. You know, everything's kind of out in the open. And it's weird to see that, because a customer could just walk up behind you, but that's where we're at, because we have teller cash recyclers that just spit out the money, and our tellers no longer have physical drawers. And that there has to be a place for the older generation to come down and sit. And we still offer the coffee, you know, and the water, and, you know, the additional, just the sticky services of the relationship building. We're currently at our bank building a mobile transportation bank to try to go and meet the needs of, you know, where we don't have a brick and mortar. So that's one of the things that we are doing. We know we can't invest money in an actual building to be in a rural community of 200 people, but we can take a vehicle there that can service and help in the same capacity, you know, whether it's one day a week or 2 days a week or it's twice a month. So that's kind of where our vision is. We know that we have to offer both in larger communities, but in the smaller communities, we're going to try to go mobile.
That's fascinating to me. This is the first I'm hearing of this. So tell me about this process to get this mobile process up and running.
Yeah, so it's just like if you were to build a location. So you have to go through the same process with your regulators. These trucks, they're basically like a mini RV that has a built-in ITM, ATM function. There's a new accounts area that somebody can walk in there and open a new account or apply for a loan. And so basically it's just a bank on wheels. And so we're really excited about it, not just to meet, you know, the rural community needs, but also to go to like football game events or, you know, just community events all together that are happening and transpiring on weekends where people can't stop in and go to a bank.
Yeah, this is amazing. So is it still, I guess I'm trying to work out, like, is it considered a branch location? I guess
it is.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an actual branch. So we had to get permission to open it as a branch. And if we ever close it, we'll have to give a 90-day notice, just like we were closing an actual branch.
That's wild. So this could be really earth-shattering for some of our banks. I'm thinking through like redlining implications that don't have locations and MMCTs, but they could do a mobile branch and set up shop every so often while
minimizing costs. You could use it for CRA purposes if you were very strategic about it. You know, one of our counties, we only have two locations in that county, but the county is enormous. And we can't cut the county where our location is in fear of redlining. So we have to encompass the entire county, but this will be a way to get certain areas where we don't have a brick and mortar location and we don't intend to.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You're changing my life right now. what kind of security concerns do you have with a mobile branch though?
You know, it's just like any other security concerns. I don't think it's any more vulnerable than a branch and mortar location. You know, you'll still go through the same process. They're not going to have direct access to cash because there's going to be an ITM located inside of it. And so that's just like if they were to drive up to a brick and mortar that has an ITM. It's basically the same, right? So staffing will be unique, trying to find the specific people who want to work, you know, very flexible hours. And there will be a cost associated with that, right? Because we want enough people so that everybody feels safe and secure. But we're super excited about it. And we're super thrilled that our owner is investing into that type of resource for our customers and potential future customers.
Yeah, cutting edge. That's phenomenal to be on the front side of that. That's so cool.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
Yeah, good. Oh, wow. My head's kind of reeling from that. But we did talk also about talking a little bit about succession planning. So let's switch gears and dig into that. So when it comes to succession planning, what do you think banks should be thinking of or doing to prepare for turnover and change?
You know, I think that's a little more difficult in community banks because we just have a smaller group of people. And we are hitting that right spot where we have a lot of people retiring out that's been in banking forever. And then we have people coming in that have zero experience. So one thing that I think is challenging for the new generation coming in is, unlike other generations that worked and went to school and had experience, this newer generation doesn't. So they're coming straight out of school with zero experience and just a degree, which a degree is great. It shows what they've learned. It shows the dedication to the overall process, but there's no tangible experience. And so you're basically training from the ground up. And so succession planning in that aspect makes it a little harder, right? Because experience, it is just so valuable in community banking. So I guess my advice would be start having a backup to your backup to your backup, right? So that's kind of what we started doing in our bank. We started drilling down key areas of, okay, if this person hit the lottery tomorrow, that's one of our sayings, what would we do? And so we have a great org chart that we've laid out, and we're making sure that we identify any critical areas if something was unfortunately to happen to somebody, that we have a backup. But it is difficult. It is a long-term process. If you think you have 10 years, you probably only have 3. So my biggest advice would be start now, because you never know what's going to happen and you never want to find yourself in the position of, you know, being without, or that employee leaving and they were the only person that could do X, Y, and Z. So, yeah.
It's so funny you say the lottery thing. My little spiel used to be, if so and so gets hit by a bus, what happens? And one of my banks told me that was so morbid. And so I've switched to like, someone wins an all expense paid life in Hawaii. What do you do?
Right. What would you do? Yeah. I mean, and it's hard to think about things like that because you think everybody's going to be around forever. And I used to be the baby of the bank, you know, for years and years and years, probably for the first 10 years of my career, I was the youngest one there. And now that I'm not, I kind of look back and go, wait, that went really fast. You know, like, who's going to take my position? And so that, so we're drilling down to that level, you know, the people that are in their 40s and 50s, we have to start a succession plan for them. And so we really look for dedication and employees who are going to stay long term, that they really want to retire with our bank. And that's the direction that we've headed.
Yeah. So this sounds basically the overall message is to be really intentional.
Very. And very intentional.
Yeah. And how do you handle that communication then? Like, for someone who maybe is the next in line in the succession plan, are you being totally upfront with them and making sure that they're ready for the role and willing to accept it?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we're really good about doing is asking people where they see themselves in 5 years or 10 years and what their ultimate goal is. And, you know, during the interview process, we do that as well. But we also do that on a annual basis with our employees during evaluations. Is this something that you see yourself doing for the next 5 years? And that way we can see the shift and the change of mind. You know, we have several employees think that they would love a certain area of the bank. They get into it. They're like, this isn't for me, but I still want to work for the bank. So just soft touches on a regular basis and those annual evaluations to see where their head is, where our head is, give them feedback of, you know, do we think they'd still be appropriate in that role? Do we think something would be a better fit for them? Especially like in my role, you have to have a real passion for it, right? You just can't throw somebody in here and be like, okay, do compliance now. Because you learn something every day. It's something new comes across your desk and you're like, I saw everything until today, right? So being very intentional, drawing it out. I'm a very visual person. And so I have a chart for my entire department that shows this is, you know, this is where I am. This is where you're at. This is where I think you're going to be in 5 years or 3 years or 2 years. Do you agree? And so that, I think that helps the overall process.
Yeah, that's great. So all of this is documented. Do you have this sort of reported up to the board, or does it reach that level?
Yes, it does. So we have an executive committee that meets once a month, and succession planning is top of the agenda. So it is talked about on a regular basis. New ideas are brought to the table, plans of actions, any gaps associated, any concerns. So yes, it goes all the way up to the top.
Yeah, that's great. Just document it, be intentional. And I love that your transparency with your employees too. Here's where I see you. Do you see yourself there? That's a great management technique too.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Darby. Well, if you could share one piece of advice with our listeners, and it could be about anything. We've talked about a lot today, but anything you want, what would that be?
You know, that's really hard. I'm passionate about a lot of things in banking. Community banking is amazing. And I guess just an overall takeaway for listeners is that the bank isn't the bad people, right? We try very hard to meet the needs of our communities on a regular basis. We're reviewing products. We're reviewing what we can do better, what we didn't do so well, you know, where our opportunities are. But relationship building, I think, is key. Whether you're a banker or you're a consumer, take the time to build a relationship with that individual person. Because at the end of the day, if we understand your needs and you understand what we have to comply with, we can always, you know, come to a better end point for everybody that's involved. So relationship banking, I think, is really the only way to go. And that's what makes community banks so great.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree. And also just have to piggyback. I think everyone should have the same passion for their career that you do. because
oh, well, thank
that makes
you.
life
Thank
go
you.
so much better and faster, right?
Well, you know, it's fun when you love what you do and you work for a great company. It makes your days not really work, but what difference did I make today? And I think that's one thing that I never knew that I could do in banking. That's the reason I was going down the psychology path, is because I wanted to help people. But I help people every day. You know, I help them avoid scams. I help them from losing money. I help stop elder abuse. So when you love that type of thing and you have a passion about it, you can help people no matter what career path you take.
Yeah, perfect. I love it. I totally agree. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing this.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.